Prepare your eyes. Viewmaster with Sam Sinnott on 95BFM.
Mordena, Sam.
Mordena, how are we going?
Good. Happy New Year.
Yeah, I've been saying that a lot today, actually. A lot this week.
Happy blue hair.
Happy blue hair. Yeah, I had my mullet robbed from me by an inexperienced barber, and I had to do something insane.
And so the blue hair it is. Your hands are also blue, which I love.
Yeah, and my toes.
Why are your toes blue?
Listen, when you're in a shower, things get crazy.
So this was a home dye job.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, definitely. Yes.
Home bleach, home dye.
Well, you did a great job of it. It looks very profesh.
Yeah, I think all homosexuals have a proclivity for doing hair.
I cannot comment on that one. But this kind of also neatly segues into what we're going to talk about today, which is, you know...
Oh, just the show that I've been waiting for 2.5 years.
The teen but not teen show of the moment.
Yeah, I like how we accidentally had a whole episode of this show, like, around teens, and now we're doing a teen TV show. Like,
it's been a very teen-centric morning today on The B, but we're talking about Euphoria Season 2. For folks who haven't seen Season 1 or don't know what we're talking about, what is Euphoria, Sam?
So Euphoria is a HBO show that centres on Rue, who is played by Zendaya, and her battle with... ahead of the show, trigger warning about, like, lots of deep, deep topics, including, like, drug abuse and... violence and all that kind of stuff. So if you don't want to hear
heads
that,
heads up, come back in 5-10 minutes.
Yes, totally. Basically, the main character Rue, who's played by Zendaya, who is an absolute queen, struggles with drug abuse and addiction after her father dies, prior to this first season starting in, like, the chronological order of the first season, and all of her crazy friends who are all going through crazy high school dramas that are super heightened and super out there, and it's very fantastical. Like, I wouldn't say this show is grounded in any sort of reality.
No.
It features lots of montages, lots of, like, sometimes weird dance scenes, sometimes weird narration and monologues, and, you know, there is stuff. It is a very, like, fantastical show, kind of from the eyes of Rue, who you could say is an unreliable narrator.
Yes.
Which I think lends itself to the fantasy element, which I think a lot of TV reviewers that I've seen talking about Euphoria Season 1 and 2 seem to miss. They're like, the show is just clearly not based in reality, and it's just, like, ridiculous. And I'm like...
That's kind of the point.
That's kind of the point. Yeah. Like, there's nothing about the show that I'm like, oh, yeah, this is true life.
And I think that is... I mean, I actually haven't watched Euphoria. I'm very behind the times on this, but I have seen quite a lot of bits from it, especially some of the... I think there was a scene in maybe the final episode of the first season that got nominated for an award for its, like, strange dance scene.
Labyrinth. So it was a dance labyrinth, and then, like, Rue, like, floats into the air. It was just beautiful. It was a great way to finish the season. I loved it.
And for someone who hadn't watched the whole season and then to see that, it was quite interesting, because I think, as you said, I was like, okay, so people talk about Euphoria and it gets a bit... pearl clutchy. People get a bit like they did about Skins. This is ruining the kids. It's ruining the teens. I mean, it's not a very realistic depiction of, you know, teen life. It's full of very glamorized drug use and all sorts of stuff, which is problematic, yeah, maybe, but also it's not really trying to tell you this is how people live their lives.
No, this is definitely like, if you took all the issues a teen could possibly face in the 2021, 2022, etc. time. Maybe ignore COVID because that's not on the show. But, you know,
thank God.
But, you know, 2020, like, it heightens all of that up into 110,000. Like, it's going, it's fast paced. Everyone has some crazy issue they need to deal with. Everyone has interpersonal drama, and it's like Skins, except it's even crazier sometimes. And Season 2 has been given a lot of flack online about taking all the parts about Season 1 that people didn't like, which was the hyper-violence and hypersexuality and hyper-nudity and hyper-drug use, and, like, continuing on that and going further down, because, like...
Ramping it up even more.
Yeah, like, for example, the first episode of Season 2, because I'm trying not to give any spoilers, but I've seen 7 of the episodes, so I...
So just...
Yeah.
No spoilers here. We're talking around, broad strokes.
Yeah, broad strokes. I'm dancing around spoilers. But in the first episode, which is already out on Neon, Fez, who played Rue's kind of, like... He was, like, quite a background character in Season 1. He was Rue's drug dealer. Super lovely guy. The actor who plays him is just a legend. I've been watching TikToks about him. He's just so cool. He's just, like, this really laid-back, like, kind of, like, white gangster guy. He's just like, yeah, like, yeah, it's kind of how he talks. And basically, the first episode is all about him and how he became this young, like 19-year-old drug dealer. And it was basically his grandma. It was very Martin Scorsese, like gangster film, like shooting people up, and like very like, you know, this isn't a teen show. This is going towards like this weird like criminal underworld kind of thing. But then it also has, it tops off with this like beautiful like teen like house party like vibe. So like it's trying to mix and mingle all these different themes, and everyone's getting a bit up in arms because it's going to this hyper violent way. And for me, who's someone who likes really pulpy books and TV shows and likes to like, you know, be tense and then like laugh and then like, you know, ride that wave of emotion, this is like absolutely my type of show. Like, this is just like exactly what I want to watch.
I find that really interesting because that's something I've heard from a lot of my friends who watch the show. But my friends who watch the show are adults, and I think if you did want to tread the where's the moral line with Euphoria conversation, there is something to be said for that. They're always like, it's R18 and it's an adult show, but it is 100% marketed
at teenagers. Yeah, I was like,
teenagers.
That just makes teens want to watch it more.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to sit here and tell people if they should or shouldn't, you know, letting their teens watch this show, but there is something to be said about there is like a kind of a murky moral ground that the show is, I think, deliberately walking into, where it's an adult TV show that is huge on TikTok. It is the number one like teen fashion trendsetter at the moment.
It's all over Tumblr. Like, there's so many GIFs and screen caps, and everyone's like, I wish I was like this person, or like, which Euphoria character are you? And it's like, I'm none of them.
Don't
go
be
to
any
school.
Of them, please.
Like, I don't want to be like any of these characters. Yeah. There is this romance to like Rue's drug abuse that I'm like, you know, that gives me the ick. But I'm also like, sometimes really beautiful to watch, because like the episode where Rue is really shocking, because every character kind of has their own episode. Like, Rue as the main character has like at least one episode per season that's all about her. And the first season, when she had the episode about her, which is all about her trying to, you know, pick up from Fez, it was just so beautiful, and it was just like so stunning.
And Zendaya's won Emmys for this role, which is pretty amazing.
And that's the thing, is like Zendaya's performance, it could carry me through anything. Like, I could watch like the worst show in the world, and if Zendaya was in it, I think I'd just be like, yep, no, she's killing it, because she is just like this magnetic presence on the screen. I do think season 2 is, there are some issues that, like, you know, it feels a bit like meandering and wandering, and I feel like sometimes there's more montage than there is actual substance. But I've also got to remember that the show was filmed during COVID, so I think a lot of the stuff they could have done in the first season, they couldn't really do in the second season, because they can't actually be,
they can't like have all the house party scenes in the same way that they could film them last time, because that involves a lot of people in a room at the same time without masks on.
And like, there's one scene involving Nate, who's like the main villain of the show, he's just like this really callous teenager who's just horrible and horrible and horrible and horrible and horrible. People stop romanticizing this guy. He's just a horrible guy. Like, please don't. Like, he's hot, but he's like a gross human. But there's a scene,
Sam's hot take.
There's a scene with him and his dad and his mum and his brother, and now they look back on it, the staging of it is very much like they're all on opposite ends of the room.
They could
have all been filmed saying their lines separately and like kind of cut together.
Interesting.
And like, that's, you know, this is the reality of COVID. Like, in shooting these kind of scenes, like, they had to find a way to
get creative,
create huge emotional tension and make you cry, but not have any of the actors in the same room sometimes.
Yeah, it's such
which
a
is rough.
I think it's such an interesting thing as well for a show like Euphoria, which is one of the biggest TV shows out there at the moment, to be plowing through the kind of chaotic times that everybody is trying to work out how to navigate in various industries. It is interesting to see how they do it, and I wonder if we look back at a show like this in, you know, 20 years time, and it will be something that people study to be like, hey, look, this is a very interesting historical moment in which this is how they handled it, this is how this show handled
it. And the show took 2.5 years to come back on air. That's a long time between season 1 and season 2. These actors have grown, like, these actors are 3 years older than they were when they first shot themselves as 17-year-olds.
Yeah, which is quite hard when you've got adults playing teenagers already, to keep that believability and not slip into Grease territory.
And also, one thing the show that, like, it will always be great on is just the cinematography and the beautiful shots they create, because it's a fantasy land, because it's, you know, told in this fantastical way. Like, there's one episode, I think it's episode 5 or 6, where at the end it's kind of just like shots of all the characters in various places, and it was just visually so striking that I think I, like, wept at the art of it all, you know?
Amazing, amazing.
But yeah, this show is amazing. I will always love the show. Anyone that's a naysayer, you know, I'm not here to think about morals. That's not my job.
No, Sam's here to have a good time.
I'm having a good time. And this show is a good time. And I, so I'm re-watching it now as it comes out on Neon because I want to keep up to date with what my friends have watched. But I've already seen most of it. I just haven't seen the end, which is so, so sad.
You've got to wait sad. Like the rest of us.
I know. 8 more weeks. What?
It's hard out here. Sam, thank you for bringing us Euphoria Season 2. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you so much.
Have a great weekend and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Viewmaster, only on 95 BFM.